The Old Testament reading for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 50. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please, forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of your servants, of God, of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 14. "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants, one who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will repay you.' He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. When his master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So the idea that our Lord is teaching his disciples this morning and teaching us by extension, of course, the idea is easy enough for us to grasp. We pray it every day when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. There's a second part. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Or as some translations put it, which fits nicely to the text today, forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Maybe some of you memorized that as a kid, that translation. As a Christian, you understand that your Heavenly Father has forgiven you all of your sins through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, you are, as Christians, called to deal with others as God deals with you. As a member of Christ's flock, as a member of Christ's church, as a baptized believer, you are called upon to forgive others as you have been forgiven. It's an easy enough concept for us to understand, but we all know it's not so easy when we have to put it into practice. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Peter asks. Of course, you and I already know the Lord's response to Peter, so we might be tempted or quick to judge Peter and dismiss him as being foolish and all too quick to speak, which, fair enough, Peter does that sometimes. But if you think about it, Peter's question isn't all that unreasonable. Like last week, today, once again, we're still in that context of dealing with a fellow believer, a brother in Christ, a fellow believer, baptized believer in Christ, a fellow member of Christ's flock who has sinned against you. That's the context. And like we heard last week, this brother has been confronted with that sin. He repents of that sin. He asks for forgiveness and wants to do better. And he, she, they're forgiven. Totally. It's finished. It's not a matter for debate. It's over. Forgiveness is granted. You have gained your brother. All is well. It's a beautiful, fantastic scene. But Peter wonders then, reasonably, what happens if he does it to me again? Oh, okay, well, he comes to you, he repents of that sin again, and it's fine, I suppose. He's forgiven again. We'll do that again. But then he goes out and he does it again. A third time now. Or again. Okay, seriously, as the saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me 3 times, there is nothing that follows that because it's absurd to be fooled 3 times. Yet Peter's feeling pretty merciful here today. How about not 4, 5, 6, but how about 7 times? Should I forgive him 7 times? I mean, that's a lot of times. If you've been sinned against in the same way 7 times, that's a lot. There's got to be a limit, right? Well, as you know, Jesus responds, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, Peter. Ah, so 490, so 491, they're on the hook, right? You're free. No. That's not what it means. 7, of course, is a number in the Bible, the perfect number, 70 times. 70 is 10 times 7, indicating perfect. You get the idea, right? It's not 490 times. The point Jesus is making is there is no limit, Peter. There is no limit. You forgive him every time, always. Then Jesus tells the disciples and us today this parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one of his brought to him one that owed 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. And he couldn't pay, so the master ordered him to be sold into debt slavery with his wife, his children, all that he had, and payment to be made. But the servant falls to his knees, imploring him, the master, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity or compassion for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him, he began to choke him. The front cover of the bulletin's pretty intense, right? There's the picture. He goes and he chokes the man out, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and threw him in prison till he should pay the last penny of the debt. His fellow servants, he gets ratted out here by his fellow servants. His fellow servants saw what had taken place, and they go to the master, of course, knowing what the heart of the master. They report all that had taken place. His master summoned him and said, "You wicked servant." So it does not end well. "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. You begged me. You got on your knees. And should you not have had that same mercy then on your fellow servant who I had as I had on you?" In anger, the master delivers him up to the jailers until he should repay all his debt. And then Jesus says this, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." Now, in this parable, we're going to follow the money. I believe one key to understanding this parable, this one at least, is to follow the money. So all of the commentaries out there agree, not necessarily on the amount of 10,000 talents, but they all agree that it's a lot of money. It is a massive, insurmountable amount of money. I've seen estimates in the many, many billions of dollars in today's funds, right? Billions with a B. It's an absurd amount of money, and that is the issue. The point is that this is a massive, insurmountable, impossible debt for this servant to pay. Never would he do it. Never, ever could this wicked servant have repaid it. The entire lifetime of slavery would have just put a tiny little dent in such a debt. It would have taken many, many lifetimes, lifetimes upon lifetimes, say like eternity, right? You get it? It would take an eternity to pay off this debt. But the merciful master lets him go scot-free, free of charge. He erases it all. Now, on the other hand, 100 denarii is significantly less. It's still a significant chunk of change, right? It would be somewhere in maybe $7,000 today, right? That's a significant amount of money. I don't just have $7,000 to throw away or to pay back. But yet it is a manageable debt, probably. It's just a drop in the bucket, though, if we compare it with the other debt of 10,000 talents. It's nothing compared to that. Billions with a B. And so with his newfound freedom, just letting go scot-free, the wicked servant, what does he do? He went and he chokes out his fellow servant who owed him just 100 denarii. The wicked servant refused to have mercy on his fellow man. He withheld forgiveness from that man, opting instead to throw him in jail. And as we read, when the master found out about this, oh boy, he was not happy. Obviously, it did not end well for that wicked servant. So why is it so hard for us to forgive each other? Well, clearly, the answer is that we're sinful. Yes, that's why. We are sinful. We sure like to be the ones on the receiving end of grace and mercy and compassion and forgiveness and leniency. But we're not all that fond of dishing it out when it comes time to dish it out. When we are genuinely the victim of someone else's sin, when we know that we have been cheated, we have been lied to, we have been damaged by someone else's sin, it hurts. And that pain that we feel when we have been sinned against can easily turn into anger and hatred. And then we refuse. Stubbornly refuse. We hold that grudge. We refuse to forgive them because, of course, that so-and-so who sinned against me does not deserve it. Ah, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget, you know what? Neither do we. Neither do we. consumed by our own sin, our own hurt pride, and our false sense of self-righteousness, and our boiling anger, we forget. We forget just how much God has forgiven us. We forget about the billions with a B that God has forgiven us. Instead, we go out and we choke someone else out over thousands. We forget the sheer depth of our own sin, and we love to point out the sin in other people. And it never ceases to amaze me just how prideful and how self-righteous we, including myself, we all of us sinful human beings can be. Especially when we know that we are the ones that have been sinned against. Hey, I'm not the one who lost my temper. That was that guy. It's his fault. I'm not the sinner here. He is. She is. I would never do someone as dirty as that so-and-so did to me. You know, if I was wrong, I don't think I was, but if I did anything wrong, well, I have plenty of justification for it. I have plenty of excuses. I can gladly share them with you if you want to hear all of my reasons. No. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. Let him who is without sin be first to cast a stone, Jesus says. So, dear saints, when we are unable and we are unwilling to forgive a brother or sister in Christ, we are forgetting. We are forgetting. Even worse, we are denying the massive, insurmountable, impossible debt that our own sins have racked up against God, our Heavenly Father. And we are forgetting, perhaps even denying, the massive debt that has been forgiven because of the price that has been paid for that. Christ's suffering and his death and his resurrection. You see, our sinful hearts truly cannot comprehend just truly how sinful they are. The depths of our own wickedness, our own lies, our own unfaithfulness and corruption can only be revealed to us from outside of ourselves. God has to be the one who shines that light in our sin-darkened heart and expose it. Only when we come face to face with God's holy law can we begin to see the truth. And that's God coming, as we said last week, to confront us, right? Only when we get confronted and we realize that God demands perfection from us, only then do we realize just how sinful each one of us, our own hearts, are. The more we understand God's word and his law, the more he reveals to us just how much we do not measure up. Just how much we fail to follow God's law, and we fail to do what is good and right, and we choose evil instead. When God's law enters into our ears, it makes its way down into our hearts, and it should pierce that heart. And then we get that glimpse. We turn to Christ, we repent of that, and we get a glimpse of just how much Christ has forgiven us. A glimpse of that billion with a B. So when you hear the law correctly, you begin to understand just how insurmountable your debt is, but how massive the price was paid to save you from that debt. Not in 1,000 lifetimes could you ever repay or work off that debt. You will never be able to do enough good works. You will never be able to do enough pilgrimages or prayers to put a dent in the amount that you owe. So the proper response to God's law, to his word, is not to self-righteously make an excuse or a self-justification for yourself. Rather, it is to do as the servant does in the text, fall on our knees and bow and go to the merciful Father, because we know he is merciful. We throw ourselves at his mercy because he is a gracious master. And of course, in the parable, the gracious master is our Heavenly Father. Don't forget the insurmountable debt that could only be repaid by another. Someone else, a perfect man, the Son of God had to become a man, be perfect, and to earn a perfect sacrifice in your stead in order to pay the full depth of all of our sin. Only God can do such a thing. Only God in the flesh, suffering and dying on the cross in your place, is a sufficient enough payment to let you off scot-free. A bruised, a beaten, a bloodied Jesus, the Son of God. That's the price. And it's been paid. Out of pity or compassion for you, the Master, that is the Father in heaven, has sent his Son to die, to pay the price that you owe. Through Christ's death and resurrection alone, the Father has released you now. You are free. He has forgiven you of all your debt. Billions with a B, wiped out. God's pity, his never-ending love for you, his mercy and compassion for you, forgives you not just 7 times, 70 times 7. Always. Every time. Every time. So how can you possibly forgive the sins of a brother or sister, someone who has sinned against you? Well, don't forget, but remember. Remember, while in your mind, the brother or sister may not deserve to be forgiven, neither do you. Yet your merciful Father in heaven has had pity and compassion on you, hasn't he? He has forgiven you a massive amount of debt, hasn't he? Remember just how much God has forgiven you. Read and study God's word. I didn't announce it this morning, but come to Bible class. We're going to study 1 Peter after church today. Come to Bible class, and it will reveal to you your sin and the price that was paid for that. Remember. Remember. Remember the price that God paid to free you from debtor's prison. Remember the cross and the sacrifice required to wipe away any and all debt that you may owe, the impossible amount that you owe. Remember the shed blood of the very Son of God on the cross. It is for you, and it covers all your sins. Remember the words that your Savior spoke from the cross. It is finished. It's done. Completely and totally forgiven. Your debt is paid in full. And that, dear saints, that is why we need to continue to come here, to be gathered here amongst God's people, gathered around his word and his sacrament, because we so easily forget. We go out into the world and we forget. We need to be reminded. And that's what God does. He comes to us over and over, calling us, yes, to repentance, yet to remember our own sin, but then also sharing with us, causing us to remember the pure gospel, that in Christ all of our sins are forgiven, that eternal life is ours. Only in the gospel, only in the freedom that you know, you believe, and you trust in, the freedom that Christ has set you free from all of your sins and that he has risen for your justification, only that can motivate you to now turn and to forgive someone else who has sinned against you. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. Always, never ending, unlimited, every time. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.